Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today, we'll discuss the article by Huang et al. Titled, Impaired Proteostasis in Senescent Vascular Endothelial Cells, a Perspective on Estrogen and Oxidative Stress in the Aging Vasculature. This article was published February 1st, 2019. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, author Aldrin Gomes, and content expert Cam McCarthy. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and thank you both Aldrin and Cam for joining us today for this discussion of a very interesting paper. So no one likes to get old, but our cells are programmed to enter into a senescence stage at some point in our life. In the cardiovascular system, this process results in an increased risk of disease, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, what have you. Endothelial cell senescence may be especially prevalent in the peri- or postmenopausal state in women. Thus, the current study. Aldrin, can you please tell our listeners what the rationale was for the specific experiments that you carried out, a bit about the methodology you employed, and the results you found?
Firstly, thank you for allowing me to speak about this paper. It is estimated that in the United States, the number of persons 65 and over will reach about 81 million by 2050, and cardiovascular disease is a major cause of death in this population. Hence, because of the high prevalence of oxidative injury in the aging cardiovascular system, we wanted to investigate whether senescent primary human coronary artery endothelial cells have a diminished heat shock response or impaired proteostasis, and if these cells are affected by estrogen. To our knowledge, no such study had previously been done for primary senescent human endothelial cells, and as such, these studies would be important to understand the underlying mechanisms of age-associated vascular dysfunction. So when we talk about senescence, we're really referring, sometimes people call it biological aging, and this is the gradual deterioration of functional characteristics until the cells are no longer capable of dividing. When we look at coronary artery endothelial cells, in this study, we actually took it from four different human female donors, and the ages were between 17 and 49, and these were obtained from commercial suppliers. To establish senescent cells, we took these cells and we serially passaged them every 4 days and we plated at a very low density. This results in a gradual decrease in the proliferation of these cells. At about 8 to 11 passages, the cells significantly drops in terms of how they divide, the rate at which they divide, and the development of cellular senescence can be confirmed by staining for senescence-associated beta-galactosidase. We can also confirm senescence by visual inspection of the senescence-associated morphology changes, and these include things like flattening of the cell, and the cell themselves gets more enlarged. It's also important to ensure that the maintenance of these endothelial cell identity after prolonged cell culture is still an endothelial cell, and we do this by monitoring the CD31 expression. So we use multiple different methods, which I wouldn't get into here, but what we found was that these senescent endothelial cells had a diminished heat shock response, and they also had a lot of protein aggregation when compared to the early passage cells. The early passage cells are considered non-senescent cells. So this protein aggregation was not expected because we found that in these senescent cells, they had increased proteasome activity. And proteasome is there to degrade aggregated proteins as well as proteins which are polyubiquinated, etc. So we believe that these senescent cells have increased oxidative stress, which we're able to show by a method. And this is likely what is promoting this aggregation that we see. Now, Dr. Ann Knowlton, who is my fantastic collaborator and the corresponding author of this manuscript that we are currently discussing, she had previously shown that estrogen improved the heat shock response in endothelial cells. However, in this current study, we found that estrogen did not decrease protein aggregation or change or improve the heat shock response in either the early passage or the senescent cells. A possible cause for this discrepancy may be the sex difference. This current study was done using all female donors, while the previous study was done using only male cells.
Thank you, Aldrin. Cam, would you care to comment on the importance or the significance of these findings in the pathogenesis of hypertension and any other questions or clarifications you might have for Aldrin?
Yeah, thanks, Irv. So it's been well established that end organs from hypertensive patients and animals have a greater abundance of senescent cells, and this is particularly true in arteries and cells that make up the arteries. It is also well known that senescent cells can mediate a host of dysfunctions, including hypercontractility, vascular remodeling and extracellular matrix deposition, inflammation, and oxidative stress. And all these phenotypes are present in hypertension. I thought that the observations that Aldrin and colleagues made that senescent cells could mediate protein aggregation was extremely novel, and it fits with the notion that hypertension is also a proteotoxic disease.
I think that's a really critical factor. Let me ask Aldrin one question. These cells were derived, as you mentioned, from several female donors, and I assume that the coronary vessels were harvested either at post-mortem, immediately post-mortem, or perhaps during some sort of surgical intervention. Is there any data on in vivo correlates of these experiments? If you look at the ability of the vasculature to respond to agonists, for instance, in young and old patients, I know this is difficult to do in the coronary circulation, but what's known about this?
So actually, very little is known about in vivo studies on this. As you know, aging is actually a multifaceted process, and it's controlled by several factors: diet, physical activity, changes in lifestyle, any medications the person may be taking. But what is known in vivo is that endothelial dysfunction occurs at a level of compliance, where these endothelial cells are able to move. It's also known that patients that have endothelial dysfunction have increased oxidative stress, which is similar to what we see in these cells that we currently use as senescent cells.
Cam, any further insight into this or any other questions about the study?
Yeah, Aldrin, in the manuscript, it was elegantly demonstrated that senescent endothelial cells had an increase in proteasomal activity. I was just wondering if you thought it was possible mechanistically that the increased proteasomal activity could mediate the senescence that you observed.
Yes, that is certainly possible, as too much degradation of key proteins may actually speed up senescence, but it's more likely that the increased proteasome activity is actually compensatory to try and reduce the amount of unfolded proteins that will eventually aggregate. So it seems that this increased proteasome activity is still not sufficient enough to degrade all the unfolded and damaged proteins.
So let me pick up on another aspect of this study, which I thought was very interesting. You know, the oxidant theory of aging was proposed back in the 50s by Denham Harmon, who I actually knew very well and was a faculty member at our institution. There have been lots of trials using antioxidant agents to impact cardiovascular disease, hypertension, heart failure, and most of them have failed. What do you think could be a strategy to either slow down or reverse endothelial cell senescence using antioxidant therapies?
That's a difficult question, but it seems, if I can use some of what we found in our data, we investigated the role of oxidative stress as a potential mechanism for the increased protein aggregation in senescent cells using an antioxidant cocktail. Dr. Knowlton's group had previously shown that antioxidants can reduce oxidative stress, but in this study, we found an inability of the antioxidants to decrease the amount of protein aggregates. And we believe this is because once these aggregates form, they become heavily aggregated and oxidized, and they are persistent. They're not able to be degraded by the proteasome. In fact, some studies have shown that the proteasome is actually clogged by some of these aggregates, actually preventing its function in vitro and possibly in vivo. So the antioxidants, as you said, failed in many studies, but in some studies they seem to be successful. So there's a lot of contrary results there. And we have to remember that the cell itself is quite complicated in that they're both non-enzymatic antioxidants naturally occurring, such as bilirubin, thiols, etc. There's also the superoxide dismutases and glutathione peroxidase, which are enzymatic. And a lot of in vitro studies show that these are all decreased. So we believe that taking an approach early on with some of these antioxidants may be beneficial.
So one of the reasons I think that clinical trials have failed is that we really don't understand the regulation of antioxidant enzymes or oxidant molecules. And one of the things that have been concentrated on lately is the pro-antioxidant transcription factor NRF2. Do you think that a strategy like NRF2 that has been looked at in aging and is shown to be declined could be another way or a therapeutic modality to reduce oxidative stress and perhaps proteolysis?
Yes, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that that may be successful. As you know, mouse studies and animal studies are sometimes different from human studies. So until we actually try it in humans, we wouldn't know. But we think that is probably one of the most promising potential therapies that may be there. There's some other therapies that are in preclinical trials that may be useful too. For example, there are small molecule activators of the unfolded protein response system for amyloidosis. And there's also deubiquinin enzyme inhibitors used in preclinical trials right now for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's that are showing some promise that may be useful also for senescence and for cardiovascular dysfunction.
Great, thanks. Cam, any further comments or questions?
Aldrin just answered my follow-up question, which was about any novel therapeutic approaches, given that antioxidant therapy and 17-beta-estradiol therapy was not able to reduce the protein aggregates in the senescent cells.
So one thing that's showing promise also is a Mediterranean diet, which has been shown to reduce levels of oxidative stress biomarkers, including lipid peroxides, protein carbonyls, superoxide dismutase activities actually increase. So, you know, lifestyle, again, can become very important. And this is something that probably is easy to test in the long run.
I agree completely. Well, this has been a great conversation. It would be great to be young again. We're all striving for that, but I think we'll have to settle for what it is right now. So I want to thank you both for participating in this interesting podcast, and I'm going to turn it back to Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.